Good morning. We will be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 22 through 30. You will find it on page 936 in your pew Bibles. I will be reading from New International Version. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in that time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him from the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Jesus was a troublemaker. Oh, he did a lot of good, but he also made a lot of people mad. He'd come back to his hometown of Nazareth, and he was among his people he'd grown up with. There in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom, to worship with the folks. And when they returned, the people were glad to see him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. His fame had begun to spread around the countryside. He was now a big shot preacher. And so he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and given the honor to read the scripture during the synagogue service. And Jesus selected a passage from Isaiah that would become his mission statement. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, all eyes were fixed on him. Then Jesus delivered the punchline, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Well, their imaginations were going wild. What was he saying? "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." At first, everyone spoke well of him. They were amazed at what he said. But then they started thinking, "Now wait a minute. Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this the boy we watched grow up playing in his father's carpenter shop? Is he really claiming to be who we think he's claiming to be? Is he really claiming to be the Messiah? Well, if so, why doesn't he prove it by performing some miracles like he did in Capernaum?" Jesus could sense that their enthusiasm was turning to hostility. He could sense that their initial acceptance was turning to rejection. He could sense that he wasn't so welcome in Nazareth anymore. Well, Jesus did not help matters by reminding them of two stories from the Old Testament. The stories were about how God helped foreigners, but not the people of Israel. When they heard this, they were filled with rage. The people in the synagogue became a lynch mob. They drove Jesus out of town to the brow of a hill, and their intention was to throw him off and kill him. But Jesus passed through their midst and went on his way. We don't know that Jesus ever returned to Nazareth again. And who could blame him for staying away? As Jesus said, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. And as John said in the prologue to his gospel, He came to his own, but his own people did not accept him. Well, what exactly did Jesus say to cause so much trouble? What made him so mad? Well, he challenged the status quo. The Jews thought of themselves as the chosen people, better than anyone else. But Jesus was saying that his mission was for all people, especially the unchosen people, like the captives, the blind, the oppressed, the poor. Jesus was saying that God is gracious to all, not just to the Jews. Even to Gentiles, he's gracious. Well, that didn't set well with the people of Nazareth. Those who try to change the way things are almost always are considered troublemakers. Martin Luther King was considered a troublemaker by many people, especially by many white people, especially many white people in the South. He and other leaders in the civil rights movement were trying to change things in American society, to challenge segregation, to promote equality. Back then, many white people in the South considered themselves the chosen people, better than other racial groups. And a lot of people, especially many white people in the South, did not want things to change. There was an extraordinary apology made by the police chief in LaGrange, Georgia, a few weeks ago. The police chief, Chief Lewis Deckmer, who is white, gave a rare public apology for a lynching that happened in LaGrange more than 76 years ago. It happened so long ago that many people had never even heard of the lynching of Austin Calloway. But in 1940, Austin Calloway, believed to be 16 or 18 years old, was dragged from a jail cell by a group of masked white men and taken to the edge of town. He was shot in the arms and the head and left for dead. The next morning, a passerby found Calloway bleeding from the gunshot wounds. He was taken to the hospital where he died. The crime was never investigated and no arrests were ever made. Well, about 3 weeks ago, the police chief stood before an interracial audience that gathered at a traditionally African-American church. Chief Deckmer said, "I sincerely regret and denounce the role our police department played in Austin's lynching, both through our action and our inaction, and for that I'm profoundly sorry." He continued, "It never should have happened." Chief Deckmer also said that all the citizens of LaGrange had the right to expect that their police department should be honest, decent, unbiased, and ethical. He continued, "In Austin's case, and in many like his, those were not the police department values he experienced." Well, it was an unexpected apology because it happened long ago, but also because it's a part of Southern culture that is seldom mentioned even today. Some people might argue, why dredge up the past? It happened long ago. Why even talk about it today? Why go back and revisit what happened? And yet, for more than a century after Reconstruction, brutal mob violence was used to enforce racial segregation. Much of the violence was never reported in the mainstream media. In 2015, a study published by the nonprofit Equal Justice Institute documented 4,075 racial terror lynchings of blacks by white mobs in 12 southern states. The group has begun construction of a memorial to those lynching victims that will open next year in Montgomery, Alabama. Well, Chief Deckmer issued the public apology in an effort to address widespread minority distrust of police. Chief Deckmer is working toward a better relationship between the police department and the larger community in LaGrange, Georgia. I found it interesting to learn that Chief Dekmar was not born in LaGrange or even born in the South. He was born in New Jersey and raised in Oregon. But he's been with the LaGrange Police Department since 1995, and he's concerned about the community that he calls home. And it's not just talk. For example, he has mandated the use of body cameras on police officers for the last 5 years. Well, reactions to the chief's apology were mixed. Some white residents of LaGrange said they were skeptical that his apology would have any practical effect. They said, why revisit the past? After all, the crime took place so long ago that most people don't even remember it. But for other residents, including one of Mr. Calloway's relatives, the apology was a step toward healing. Well, Jesus made many of his fellow townspeople mad because he was challenging their presumption of racial superiority. They thought they were the chosen people, better than everybody else. And as soon as he started talking about how God had been gracious to the Gentiles, the Jews turned against him and they wanted to kill him. As soon as Martin Luther King started talking about challenging the presumption of racial superiority, he became a target of hatred. People who challenge the status quo are considered troublemakers. Such prophets seldom have an easy life. Their prophetic message is likely to get them killed. Well, today, LaGrange, Georgia is a multicultural community. The city is about 48% black and 45% white. And according to residents, race relations run the gamut from friendly to frayed. When LaGrange College announced that they had invited Representative John Lewis to appear at a Martin Luther King event last month, there was a mixed reaction. Some people were enthusiastic about the civil rights icon coming to LaGrange to speak, while others objected and protested, probably due to Representative Lewis's questioning the legitimacy of Donald Trump's presidency. Some businesses displayed signs promoting Representative Lewis's appearance, while some homes displayed pro-police signs saying, "Back the Blue." Sadly, such polarization is evident in many places in our country. But Chief Dekmar and the county NAACP have been working together to promote racial reconciliation and trust building. Well, racial reconciliation and reconciliation is at the heart of the message of Jesus. He came to preach good news to the poor and release to the captives. He came to open blind eyes and, yes, to open closed hearts. He came to help us see that all people are valuable in the sight of God and that we are all His chosen people. He came to challenge the status quo, and for that, eventually, a mob did kill him. The Roman governor Pontius Pilate wanted to release him, but the angry mob cried, "Crucify him!" And in the end, Jesus was a victim of mob violence because he would not walk away. But love is stronger than hate. From the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." And God did forgive them. And God does forgive us. And God wants us to forgive each other too. And God wants us to be reconciled with each other. 5 years ago this week, Trayvon Martin was killed. He was a 17-year-old high school student walking through a gated community after going to a convenience store. He was confronted by a neighborhood watch volunteer named George Zimmerman, who was carrying a loaded weapon. After the confrontation, Martin, who was unarmed, was killed by Zimmerman. Zimmerman was arrested. He was acquitted on trial on grounds of self-defense. In a recent interview, Trayvon's parents were asked to describe how they are now. His mother said, "When you lose a child, you never get over it." His father said, "There's only one way to come out of that dark place, and that is through the power of prayer." Trayvon's parents have channeled their grief into a commitment to justice. They've created Circle of Mothers and Circle of Fathers to empower parents who've lost a child, especially to gun violence, especially to racial violence. When they talk to those parents, they tell them to try to hold on to their faith and to be strong. With the power of faith and the power of prayer are grounded in what Jesus has done for us. Jesus was a troublemaker. He made trouble, but in order to make peace. He afflicted the comfortable, and he comforted the afflicted. He opened blind eyes, and he let the oppressed go free. We are all chosen people, chosen by God, to be recipients of his love and mercy and grace. Where there is injustice, may we be troublemakers in order to make peace. And may Jesus open our blind eyes and let the oppressed go free. Our Father, we live in a world that is still divided in so many ways. And yet we know that Jesus came to help us to build bridges with one another, that Jesus came to reconcile us with you and to inspire us to be reconciled with one another. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is at work in our lives, making us one in Christ Jesus. And we pray that we might continue to work together, that we might live together in harmony and justice and peace, that the love of Christ may rule in our hearts, rule in our lives, rule in our relationships, rule in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a closing hymn, and we offer you the opportunity to respond. It may be there's someone here today who would profess your faith in Jesus and follow him as a believer in baptism. At the early service this morning, Haley Boggs came forward to profess her faith in Jesus and to be baptized. And it may be someone today in this service would also make that commitment to Christ. Or maybe you've already made that commitment, but you're not a part of this church family. We'd invite you to join us by transferring your membership as we stand together and sing hymn number 692, "Let Truth and Mercy Find Here."